Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Intuitive Conversations with Tamara and Chantel. I'm Chantel Neufeld.
I'm Tamara Franz.
And we're just catching up. Usually we do this over coffee.
Right. But, yeah. This is our coffee conversation today.
With water. Cheers. There we go. So
yes,
what's up with
our
you?
Our schedules have been like ships passing in the night for the last few months, so...
I'm happy that it's spring and everything feels new. Uncertainty for me with my being between jobs, but also excited to feel more like myself again, because when all of my energy is going into a 9-to-5, then it's like I'm in recovery mode in the evenings or on the weekends. And so I just like feeling like myself.
Who designed 9-to-5?
Like, I don't know. Really, it wasn't me.
Could anyone have found a better way to siphon our creativity away from us and sap our life energy?
How are you feeling in your creative world? Like,
well, I mean, I'm retired, so I am loving being master of my own schedule. I've been doing a lot of work on writing lately. I was finishing up credentials for a long astrology training program that I was doing. So yeah, I've had projects on my plate and it's been good.
I keep thinking of you as a writer and I'm just like, how many books are you gonna publish?
Oh, well, that's a saga in itself, because the plan is to bring my own publishing company online, but there's a huge learning curve alongside that. And so
I feel like you're up for the task.
Well, we'll see. Yeah.
You and your circle will figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess a topic that has arisen in many ways for me, not just lately, but over the years, but really has been wrapping up, is the whole, and we touched on it a little bit in our last episode, but the whole arena of technology and AI and devices and social media, and just how much of our life energy, how much of our creativity is actually being vampirically consumed by technology, and what that means for our future, how much of it is useful and worth holding on to, and how much of it is actually quite alarming in terms of just cannibalizing people's creativity. So that's a big thing. And lately, our premier announced here in Manitoba the first ever provincial ban on social media for kids 16 and under. So details have yet to come out and what that would look like. But as an educator, I was always in favor of, you know, our leadership taking strong action and guidance direction in terms of social media, not just social media, but device use in public, in our schools. And I would extend that to, how do we support our young people in learning how to responsibly use devices and social media and all those things? Because I think we are a culture in danger of losing our creativity. And as an educator, I've been in the position of tutoring kids in grade 12 who can't add two numbers, single digits, together without a calculator. So you start seeing how we give over our functioning to machines that can do it for us. And what is the cost of that? These are things that I ponder and that keep me awake at night.
The things that I ponder are like around balance. Usually it's like not a black and white issue. You know, some people see new things as the devil, right? Like this is the worst thing ever.
Burn it down.
Change is bad, you know, like, but at the same time, I feel like we've been using some of these technologies for so long. Like, AI isn't just the ChatGPT. Like, it's in lots of things, like Google and, you know, things we've been using for a long time, like our robot vacuum cleaners and, like, it's a broader scope of technology. But I totally see your point.
Well, I think what bothers me is that we haven't been brought into the conversation about how this is all developing and how it's going to be used. And creatives especially have had their work cannibalized without any permission being given, without any remuneration. And so Like I even in the last week went to an AI image generator site and was sort of generating some mock-ups for like what the cover might look like for my next poetry book. But I'm conscious as I'm doing that it's harvesting material that other artists have created. And do I feel good about that? I can't create it myself, but I could go to an artist friend and say, is this something that you could create for me? And here's a sample. But I still know that I'm using material that's been stolen in a way from other artists, and that bothers me. And I mean, we hear about the horror stories of like people using ChatGPT, and I mean, there's been at least one, major story about someone committing suicide after basically creating a relationship with ChatGPT. And we had an apology recently from, oh, what is his name? The OpenAI owner. We had this mass school shooting in Tumbler Ridge in BC, which AI played a part in that as well. So,
Like a tool, a powerful tool that can be used for good or bad, but
yeah.
people need to be aware of the dangers for sure.
And that's always the argument, right? Rather than ban it, can we teach people how to use it responsibly? Well, okay, but is that being done? Are we developing curricula around that? Are we dedicating time to that to have those discussions? Are we working with parents on this? The will has to be there, and the time and energy has to be there. And is it happening? I don't think it's happening. And the addictive nature of these devices is such that we're giving these to kids whose brains are still developing. And I think we underestimate the power of a little device like this just because of its size. It's funny, I say to my husband, when cars first came out and there was no regulation around like
Seatbelts or
or getting a driver's license,
oh,
like
yeah.
do you even know what you're doing? And those cars didn't go fast. But people were crashing out all over the place having accidents, and it was a real problem.
Good trial and error thing.
Yeah. And even the printing press, like we think, oh, the great emancipator, the printing press made it possible for people to read on a mass level and all that kind of stuff. Well, what were some of the early books that were printed with these printing presses on mass levels? They were books about witches and how do you identify a witch and causing all kinds of havoc and everything. So it almost feels like there's this period when a new technology comes in where we crash and burn with it until. It's like kids playing with matches, And in every mythology, you have the story of stealing fire from the gods. So what is that? We're stealing the power, but we're not mature enough to know how to use it. And we're just playing with fire until we burn the house down, and then oh, we sober up and think maybe there are better ways to use
I just trial and error
it.
is the story of my life, and I mean through parenting, everyone knows the oldest is the guinea pig, and yeah, and like even the generation gap, because like we didn't grow up with a lot of technology,
We
right?
grew up with
Like,
TV, and I think that in itself was alarming to our parents who hadn't grown up with it. I mean, did
yeah,
your parents call it the idiot box?
no, but we weren't allowed to watch it, so
Oh,
there's that.
we were allowed one program from Monday to Friday, which mine was Little House on the Prairie.
Aww.
And then later in high school, it became Fame. And
Okay.
then on the weekend, it was pretty wide open, but like Saturday morning cartoons and Sunday Disney and Waltons and that kind of stuff, because the programming was quite family friendly on the weekends. But we were out playing,
Yeah.
because that's what you do when you can only watch one show during the
Yeah.
week.
Yeah, so
So.
like the as the generations go along, it's so different because if kids, like my kids, I feel like, well, my youngest for sure, since she was three, always had like some kind of, you could pop bubbles on your phone or whatever, you
Oh,
know?
yeah.
But I feel like they don't play as much outside with their friends as I did. And so,
Well, one thing that I noticed much more towards the end of my career in education is that teachers in the early end of the spectrum would talk much more about kids coming to school with less language skills, with not knowing nursery rhymes, not knowing even how words rhyme, how to rhyme words. And so
It's like they're
those are.
learning more from technology than from their parents sometimes.
But are they learning is the question, right?
Oh, or
What are they
what are
learning?
they learning?
Are
Yeah.
they learning the things that they really need to learn to participate socially in an empowered way? Yeah. And I think now the big concern too is the jobs that will be lost due to AI, if so many functions can be taken over by machines. And do I want to live in a world where every time I have to pick up the phone to call my bank or a company or something, I'm not even talking to a real person? That I find that disturbing, because I want to live in a world of people and of interactions and face-to-face talking and all
Yeah.
those things. So
I was listening to an Esther Perel podcast episode recently, and she was talking about these people who have just graduated high school and they're looking for a job, or they've just graduated college and they're looking for a job, and that they went through the whole interview process and had like applied at like hundreds of places and never talked to a human. Like they were just talking to
so
some kind of
discouraging. Like,
technology.
what kind of a feeling does that give you about the company that you're going to enter, right? That they couldn't even be bothered to meet you face to face, or
But like even the person, the recruiter, or the person hiring, wouldn't there be some sort of intuitive process to know the character of the person or build rapport? Like how
I
are
don't think a
companies
left-brained world values intuition.
Like you can't just be
They'll
like, okay,
run
you
them through a
passed this
battery
test, so
of,
that makes you good for this job. Well, does it really? I
in
feel like
theory.
you need some social skills to be able to relate to your coworkers, and a lot of jobs are online now. My most recent one was work from home, everything online. I didn't even, have a team meeting with the team that I was working on with, and it was just like, what is this? Like I've never encountered that before.
Yeah, I don't know. It makes me wonder where it's all going. We already live in a world where we don't know who or what to trust. And when you can't meet people face to face and build relationships, when you can't sit in a room with someone and feel their energy, how do you build connections and bridges with
How do you work
human?
together? That was my tricky thing at the last job. It's like, how do I work together with my team when I don't even know their personality? Like, I don't even, how can we collaborate? There was no collaboration.
And the alienation, right? The alienation from society. I remember, I don't know if this was No Logo, the book that Naomi Klein wrote about branding and corporations, and
I haven't read that one yet.
but it was really this idea of fast food and how it has been made foolproof, right? Because everything is made off-site. It just comes frozen. It's all pre-processed, pre-packaged, whatever. Basically, you just have to throw the burger on the grill. But I think the young people working in these jobs, I don't know if they consciously think it through, but subconsciously, the insult of, we think you're such an idiot that we're going to make this job so that you just have to press a button, right? What is the creative investment in that job? What is the feeling of competence you get from doing that job? And I think the alienation results in the fact that she cited in her book a statistic about like the number of fast food restaurants where people like are pissing on the grill or pissing on the burgers. So these things are happening. People think it's funny to kind of hack the system that way, right? Or I'm gonna give it to the man, as they used to say back in the 60s and 70s. But
But again, that's a loss of relationship with them and their
totally,
employer.
if all of our relations are now happening, are mediated by screens, what kind of a world does that create, right? Do you trust the quality of what you're getting? Do you trust the integrity of the people on the other side of the screen?
That's a tricky one. And with me, with like AI and stuff, I don't want to be uneducated either. Like I want to know what there is, how to use it. Like I feel like I want to, I don't know, I don't want to be the person who says, that's bad. You know, I'm not going to touch that because I know how much it's infiltrated society already. And so I have this part of me that's just wanting to figure it out. So, like, if clients come to me and have a problem that involves it, then I would be able to help in some way. And so I almost feel
That's
sometimes
a
like an
call.
un undercover investigator, or be like, yeah,
Anthropologist.
how does this work? I need to
Undercover.
understand
Yeah.
things to.
Yeah.
All right, I like to understand tools because tools are just tools, or so we hope, right?
Yeah. How do we keep our tools from overtaking our relationships and what it means to be human? I mean, we could even go into the whole area of transhumanism and what that means, right? If we're
Yeah,
now
what does
going,
it mean? A new big word
I
for
don't know
me.
enough of what it means, but I
Okay.
mean, we've got some of the big tech bros out there advocating for a world that combines humans with machinery. You know, we watched Bionic, I don't know if you did, Bionic Woman and $16 Million Man. Maybe that was before your time, back in the
No.
70s. Oh, the brave new world of like substituting body parts with machinery, right?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Or the eye, the bionic eye that can see through walls, and ears that can hear through walls, and like, you know, bionic legs that can run however many miles an hour. And that was all fantasy back then, but now the push is, can we enhance the human body, the human capabilities with machinery, and what does that open the door to? So
Yeah, that's tricky, especially when it comes to consent, because it's just like, I don't want anything to be mandated on me, you know?
Well, we live in a world where we've already had eras where, you know, people were experimented on without their consent. People were sterilized without their consent. And
And that's
so
like a slippery slope.
without a certain discussion of ethics around that and what it even means to be human, do we want to open the door? And I benefit from technology. I love to use
We're doing it now.
I use the internet for very specific things to support language learning and other hobbies that I love.
I think
But
it all comes down to balance and also ethics. Like, is this something that's going to benefit me, others, and the planet?
and I think we need to be in conversation about it, right? There's a certain snobbery around, well, you know, let's leave it to the people who are developing these technologies. Let's leave it to the lawmakers. Let's leave it to the lawyers to figure out, because the common person isn't smart enough or doesn't have enough of a background to weigh in. But we're human. And this is also a discussion around what it means to be human.
And I feel like there has been too much conversation, or being human has been put down way too much, and we've put ourselves down way too much. But humans are incredible tech. You know, we have like the mind, the body, and the heart being like the most important. Like, AI can't replicate the heart
I
or the
feel like a lot of,
intuition.
I actually feel like a lot of AI technologies are the long way around to what human intuition and human perception can do in seconds.
Yeah, like we have really sophisticated tech in our human body, and we need to honor it and value it.
And we also need to decide what it means to be the master and not the servant, right? What it means to be the master of these technologies and not let them have mastery over us, because we could go
Do not give your
into,
power away, because
we
you are
could,
the most powerful.
yeah, but when it comes to surveillance technologies and all of these things, we have no idea what is even being used on us that we have not been told about. So
We
that's.
carry microphones around with us all the time. Our grandparents would be like, what is
Oh,
happening?
yeah. Yes, I recently changed my browser so it can't track, but not on my phone, my laptop.
Little by little. Yeah, I read an article or a Facebook post about that the other day. I had different instructions, and I thought that was really cool. I never thought about that.
I think the other piece for me too is that I don't want to live in a world completely divorced from nature. I think that we suffer and become very sick when we're not communing with the natural world. And these devices keep us indoors with our eyes locked on a screen. It's almost like everything has a parallel in the Lord of the Rings for me, but Gollum, this character who becomes obsessed with the ring, which is a magic technology, and he forgets the taste of bread. He forgets. He goes and hides in the caves and takes himself out of the light of the sun and everything, and he just becomes this warped, sick creature that can no longer experience connection, true connection with another being. And it's very sad. I feel like it is a metaphor for what happens when we willingly trade our humanity for any type of addiction. And technology can be an addiction for sure.
Yeah, nature is so healing, and it also, like, when you sit with nature for a while, it has lessons for us, and you don't want to miss out on that, so.
Oh, so much that you can learn about life and yeah. So on that note, maybe go for a walk today and commune with the trees, the sky, whatever little bits of nature you have in your neighborhood.
And check in with yourself, check in with your parts, make sure your needs are met. And when your needs are met, there's less of a chance that you're gonna outsource that to AI or
Yeah. And let us know how you use technology in healthy ways and or where your concerns are. We'd love to
and
hear
what your conversations are like. Yeah.
people's opinions.
All right.
So until next time.
Keep following your heart song.